This is All of It from WNYC. I'm Kushan Avidar, in for Allison Stewart. So I live in downtown Brooklyn, and there's this old building I walk by almost every day. It looks like an old theater. And this morning, I looked out my window and saw huge bright lights turned on. It was like the theater came back to life. And it turns out today is a big day for some local Brooklyn history because that theater has come back to life. And it's the topic of our next segment, the historic Brooklyn Paramount Theater on the corner of Flatbush and DeKalb Ave is once again reopening after renovations by the entertainment company Live Nation. The theater first opened in 1928 as a live venue and movie theater. Its design has got that vibe of grand Baroque-style theaters all around New York. Think Radio City Music Hall. The Brooklyn Paramount had huge acts. We're talking Miles Davis, Ella Fitzgerald, Little Richard, Fats Domino. Its sounds were part of the larger vibrancy of downtown Brooklyn's entertainment district. But in 1962, the Brooklyn Paramount Theater closed. Long Island University bought this space, and while they maintained the stunning interior, it became mixed-use office spaces. But 60 years later, Brooklyn residents can once again look forward to a night out at the Paramount. There's Nora Jones, Sean Paul, Black Country, New Road, and Pink Panthers are all scheduled to perform in the coming months. So let's talk about the history of the Brooklyn Paramount and take your calls. Ron Schweiger is Brooklyn's official borough historian. We also just learned that Ron is celebrating his 55th wedding anniversary with his wife this week. Hi, Ron. Welcome to WNYC and congratulations.
Thank you very much. To the same woman.
I've got to ask, are you going to celebrate by going to a show at the Paramount?
Probably not. We'll go out to dinner, probably at McDonald's.
Oh, wonderful. That's good, too. Hey, listeners, we want you to be a part of this conversation, too. Are you old enough to remember going to see a movie or a concert at the Brooklyn Paramount? Who did you see play? What do you remember most about the venue? Call or text us. The number is 212-433-WNYC. It's 212-433-9692. Or DM us on Instagram. We're at allofitwnyc. So, Ron, before we get to the history of the theater and surrounding area, you grew up in Brooklyn. What's your personal connection to the Brooklyn Paramount?
Well, my personal connection, I was in there twice, but not when it was a theater. I was there in 1997. History professor at Long Island University, Joe Dorenson, he hosted a coordinated and hosted a three-day symposium on the life and legacy of Jackie Robinson, because 1997 was the 50th anniversary of Jackie entering baseball. Mm. And I was a teacher. I was a science teacher for 39 years. And as a teacher, I played hooky. And I went to the symposium on Thursday and Friday of those 3 days. And a wonderful experience, because a couple of players who played with Jackie were there, also one or two players who played against him. And I noticed behind the wall where this was, some of the seats from the original Paramount were still there. Mm. So they didn't get rid of those original seats. And another time I was there was another thing I was there. I was invited to something about the history of downtown Brooklyn or something. So I was invited for that as a member of the panel.
So you mentioned seeing those seats. And I think what will be very striking for anyone who goes into the theater is that grandness, is the inside architecture. So the architecture firm that designed the Brooklyn Paramount was called Rapp & Rapp. What were they known for in terms of their style of architecture? And can you just explain kind of what it looks like inside?
Well, I haven't been inside since they redid it. Mm. But you mentioned Rapp & Rapp. Coincidentally, the King's Theater, which is further down Flatbush Avenue, that was also designed by Rapp & Rapp. And it was designed very closely to a Paris opera house. Now, the Paramount opened in 1928. The King's opened in 1929, a month before the stock market crash. Mm. But they survived, and the King's Theater lasted until 1977. But the Paramount closed in 1962, as I think you mentioned. But the history is, why was the Paramount Theater built there? Well, if we go back to, let's say, the 1600s, when the Dutch arrived, originally, there were five Dutch towns and one English town in what we now call Kings County or Brooklyn. And as time passed, the towns grew. And one of the Dutch towns was called Brooklyn, B-R-E-U-C-K-E-L-E-N, named after the village of Brooklyn in the Netherlands. Mm. That's where we get our name from. And that part of Kings County grew more dramatically than the rest of the county, which remained pretty much villages, towns, and a lot of farmland. So in 1834, we're jumping to now to 1834, the town or village of Brooklyn, which was pretty populated and growing, was right across the river from the city of New York, Manhattan. So they asked the state capital in Albany for a charter to become a city, and it was granted. So in 1834, the town of Brooklyn became the city of Brooklyn. The rest of Kings County remained rural, villages, towns, a lot of farmland. And as time passed, by the late 1800s, what we now call downtown Brooklyn, that we call it today downtown Brooklyn, there were theaters, banks, real estate offices, and along Fulton Street, there were major department stores. A lot of listeners are going to remember these names. Abraham and Strauss, which goes back to 1865. Martin's Department Store, Mays, E.J. Corvettes, NAMS. These were all major department stores all along Fulton Street. And, of course, the transportation brought you there.
So we just got a text from a listener that I want to bring in here. It says, I never went to the – or actually, this is on X. Sorry about that. I never went to the Brooklyn Paramount, but my mother, who lived in the Bronx, told me numerous stories about going to see Alan Freed's rock and roll shows there in the 1950s. So you've mentioned before your older brother and his friends used to go to Brooklyn Paramount to see the early rock and roll shows. First, who is Alan Freed and why was he important to the growth of rock and roll?
Alan Freed had a radio show. He was the host at the Paramount Theater when the rock and roll shows were booked there. I called my older brother, now lives in Florida, but of course we all grew up in Brooklyn, and I asked him, I said, listen, I'm going to be on the radio tomorrow talking about the history of the Paramount Theater and the downtown Brooklyn area. And I said, I know you and your friends went there. Do you recall any of the acts that you saw? And he said, and this was last night I spoke to him, and he doesn't remember distinctly which acts he saw, but he knows that he was there a couple of times with his friends. He's 4 years older than I am. I'm 79 now, so he's 80, 82, 83 now. And so he remembers going there and remembers seeing a lot of the rock and roll acts at that time.
We've got a caller, Joe, in New York. Hi, Joe. Welcome to the show. Oh, I guess that Joe is going to get back to us just a little bit later. You had mentioned, Ron, about the evolution of Brooklyn into Brooklyn. I think the bridges are an important aspect of the history and the context of this. Downtown Brooklyn was a really happening place in the early 20th century. What did the surrounding area near Brooklyn Bridge in downtown look like before it was built?
Well, the first bridge that connected the city of New York to the city of Brooklyn was the Brooklyn Bridge. It opened in 1883. Now, Lower Manhattan at that time was crowded, and the tenements were overcrowded, and now people in the overcrowded areas had easy access with their own horses and wagons to cross the Brooklyn Bridge into Brooklyn. Now, in 1883, railroads already existed in Brooklyn. There was no subway system, obviously, but there were steam railroads. And these, and if you ever see old movies on AMC with the old steam locomotives in the movies, that's what ran through Brooklyn. Some of them ran on the street. Some of them were elevated. And one that I know of was the Brooklyn, Flatbush, and Coney Island Railroad. And it started at Prospect Park and went right down to Brighton Beach. Now, Brooklyn had the biggest resort in the United States. Brighton Beach, Manhattan Beach, Sheepshead Bay, and Coney Island. There were four major hotels there, scores of smaller hotels. Brooklyn had three horse racing tracks. So this was a big attraction for people to leave Manhattan. And now, with the bridge, people were able to easily come over. By the way, the Brooklyn Bridge had trolleys and trains on it. People don't realize that. 20 years later, the Williamsburg Bridge opened in 1903, connecting the tenement area of Manhattan, the Lower East Side, to Williamsburg, Brooklyn.
So let's skip ahead a little bit and go to the downtown Brooklyn entertainment scene when the Paramount Theater actually opened. This is back in 1928. If we were to walk around during that time, what would people experience? Describe the scene and the energy for us.
Well, first, to connect, why was the Paramount built where it was built?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The third bridge was the Manhattan Bridge, which emptied out. Today it empties out right onto the Flappish Avenue extension. There was no Flappish Avenue extension when the Manhattan Bridge was completed in 1909. So what they did was, where traffic was coming off the Manhattan Bridge, it was a dirt strip, okay, with a couple of shacks. So they decided that they're going to extend from the Manhattan Bridge exit right into Flappish Avenue, which already existed. That's why it's called the Flappish Avenue extension, okay? So right where that extension ended, they built the Brooklyn Paramount Theater, okay? And at that time, they were already, even before that, in the late 1800s, early 1900s, you had theaters all over downtown Brooklyn. The Majestic Theater, the Orpheum Theater, the Crescent Theater, the Brooklyn Academy of Music. No, not the one that's there now. The original Brooklyn Academy of Music, which was located on Montague Street.
And so when you're walking around downtown Brooklyn, it is a time of great, like, jubilance, I guess, vibrancy, arts, theater, right? Is that fair?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
The arts. The original Brooklyn Academy of Music burned down in 1903. Mm. So in 1906, the cornerstone was laid for the new Brooklyn Academy of Music. That's the one that's there now.
Oh, wow.
All right?
Yeah.
It was completed, and it opened in, I think, 1908 or 1909. Now, that's located right off Flappish Avenue. So you have the Brooklyn Academy of Music by Flappish Avenue. Mm-hmm. Now you have the Paramount Theater that reopened, right on Flappish Avenue. Go a few blocks south, you have the Barclays Center, which is a sports arena, but it's also an arena for concerts. I know my two sons have gone to concerts at the Barclays Center. Also, the wrestling matches they're into also, all right? And go further south, you have the King's Theater.
So it sounds like this is a time where, you know, we now see an echo of what it was back in the mid-1920s of all of these places because of the bridges and that kind of nexus creating a center for a lot of art. We've got some calls. I want to go back to Joe. Hopefully we've got Joe back on. Joe, hi. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Thank you for taking the call. I was a student at LIU Brooklyn from 1966 to 1970. And in that theater, the theater was divided. The front rows actually was a basketball court. Maybe it still is. And the seats highest up were divided up into lecture halls. Mm. And a group of us, we lived in the dormitory. And every evening after dinner and when we didn't have to study, we would go into the theater and play basketball on that court.
Wow.
Almost every night for 4 years in a row. And we've had many grand times. We have been there and we have visited there over the years. It's been more than 50 years. And all of us had courses in those upper rows, which were turned into lecture halls.
Wow, Joe, thank you so much for that call and telling us, you know, we mentioned that it was mixed use, that basketball court must have been beautiful. We've got a tweet from Susanna Urich here that I want to read. I knew the Paramount as a staff member of LIU, so, you know, echoing what Joe was saying, we all lamented the unused theater, except for basketball and other events. Yep, very poignant. I was lucky enough to have heard, seen the Wurlitzer tuned, but the sale of the space is also the further destruction of the college. Susanna, thank you so much. We've also got Dan in New Jersey. Hi, Dan. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me. I wanted to speak about the unknown mighty Wurlitzer that is still within the Brooklyn Paramount.
Please.
So So the original Wurlitzer, which was designed similar to the one that was at the Paramount Theater in Times Square, was custom made for the Brooklyn Paramount. And it was scaled down from the size, but in essentially the same tonal landscape and power behind it. It's still there. It has been there since the theater opened. And as part of the New York Theater Organ Society, based here in New York City, it is under our care and has been for the last 50 years. And we're proud to say that we're partnering with Live Nation to work on a plan to bring it back into continued use with the new venue.
Dan, thank you so much for sharing that element of it. It's wonderful to hear how all of these pieces of history are being for so long preserved and now kind of reimagined. We got to go to a break. We're with Ron Schweiger, who's Brooklyn Borough historian. We're speaking about the history of the Brooklyn Paramount Theater, which is reopening today as a concert venue after a renovation. Listeners, we want to hear your memories of the Brooklyn Paramount or your relationship with it. Who did you see to play? How have you used it? Give us a call, 212-433-9692, and we'll be right back after a short break. This is All of It from WNYC. I'm Kushan Avidar in for Allison Stewart, and we are with Ron Schweiger, who's the Brooklyn Borough historian, and we're talking about the history of the Brooklyn Paramount Theater, which just reopened today as a concert venue after a renovation. Listeners, we want to know if you know anything or have any questions for Ron about the Brooklyn Paramount Theater. Maybe you've gone to see somebody there way back in the day, or maybe you remember something really special about the venue. Give us a call. Text us, hit us up on social. The number is 212-433-9692. Our social handle is at All of It WNYC. And Ron, we've got Susan in Huntington. Susan, welcome to the show.
Thank you for taking my call. I remember going to the Paramount as a preteen with my older brother and sister. And I remember concerts with Little Richard standing up and playing the piano. And Chuck Berry taking his guitar and bending down and going from one part of the stage to the next. And we would listen to Alan Freed on the radio, and we loved Alan Freed, and I guess he was the one who was promoting the Paramount. And now I live in Huntington, and there's a music venue called the Paramount. That's about it.
Susan, that's so wonderful. I'm so happy that we have you on the phone right now. What was it like when you were in those concerts? What did it look like?
It was terribly exciting. And I'm 76 now, so I don't exactly remember what it looked like, but I know we were sitting up, like in the balcony. And it was something that I knew then that I would never experience again.
Who was, I hate to put you on the spot, but was there a favorite artist of all the concerts that you saw there?
Chuck Berry.
Great name, big name, great history. Susan, thank you so much for calling in and sharing that with us. It was really special to get that call. Ron, we're hearing about concerts. Movies are also a big part of the Paramount's history. Venues like the Brooklyn Paramount were some of the first to play movies for people living in Brooklyn in the early to mid-20th century. So what role did those movies play for those folks, and how much did it cost to see a movie when you were growing up?
The cost was, compared to today, was really minimal. You mentioned movies. The Paramount was among the first, if not the first, theater to be built for sound movies. Sound started in 1928, 29. There was a movie studio in the Midwood section of Brooklyn called the Vitagraph Movie Studios on Avenue M and East 14th Street. In fact, their smokestack is still standing. It dates to 1909, that smokestack. It's still there next to Edward R. Murrow High School. The word graph, those who take math, a graph is a picture. So Vitagraph was silent movies. In 1925, the Vitagraph Studios sold to Warner Brothers and moved out to Hollywood. And a couple of years later, in 1928-29, Vitagraph became Vitaphone. Phone is sound. So that's the transition from silent movies to sound movies. And the Paramount was during that transaction where one of the first theaters to have sound movies. Diagonally across the street from the Paramount was the Fox Theater, where, and people who are listening now are going to recognize this name, Murray the K and the Swinging Soiree. Murray Kaufman on WINS Radio, which today is all news all the time, but then it was a rock and roll station. And I remember listening to WINS rock and roll. They were WABC was rock and rolls in New York on AM radio, WABC, WMCA, and WINS, all on the AM dial rock and roll show.
You mentioned the Fox Theater. Tell us more about that. What was the reputation of the Fox?
Well, the reputation was rock and roll. And that building is gone now. I think my brother may have gone to the Fox Theater also. I forgot to ask him about that one. The host for it was Murray Kaufman, and he lived in an apartment house on Ocean Parkway in the Midwood section of Brooklyn.
Wow. We've got a caller. Let's take Susan from Coral Springs, Florida. Hi, Susan. Welcome to the show.
Yeah. Hi. I am a native New Yorker, by the way. I lived in New York most of my life and just moved down to Florida 8 years ago. But when I was in high school in 1952, I went to the High School of Performing Arts, and there I met a young woman. Well, she was a girl at the time, and her father was the manager of the Paramount Theater in Brooklyn. And she used to come to homeroom class every day and tell us all about the wonderful things that were going on at the Paramount Theater. I've never been there myself. But that girl grew up and became Suzanne Pluchette, the actress who played with Bob Newhart on television.
Susan, thank you so much for that call. Ron, when Susan mentioned that actress, I saw you go, do you want to talk about that a little bit?
I remember watching Suzanne Pluchette on TV with Bob Newhart. The young lady that just called, I wonder what high school she went to in Brooklyn. Is she still on?
Oh, no. Well, we just lost her. But okay. Susan, are you back? I think I might have gotten you back.
Yes, hey. I'm here. It was the High School of Performing Arts in Manhattan.
Susan, thank you so much for that call. We've got another call. Richard from Tarrytown. Hi, Richard. Welcome to the show.
I can't believe this is the first time I've ever been on NYC. I am so excited. I want to tell you that after Alan Freed left or died or whatever it happened to him, the Paramount kept giving rock and roll shows. And I went to see a group. They had like five groups. One was Cannonball and the Headhunters, who did Land of a Thousand Dancers. And another group was they were the most famous, which was the Ronettes. When the Ronettes were there, they sang a song called Be My Baby. And one of the lines in the song was, for every kiss you give me, I'll give you three. But what happened was me and my friend from Staten, we were both from Staten Island, were in the first row jumping up and down, excited about Ronnie. And she looked at me, and instead of saying, for every kiss you give me, I'll give you three, she looked at me and said, for every kiss you give me, I'll give you 33. And that is one of the great moments of my life. One more thing about the Paramount, maybe 2 years before, this is the Brooklyn Paramount, they had a Three Stooges festival. And the Three Stooges, if anybody knows who they were like a poor man's Marx Brothers. And they were, you have to pay me to watch them now. But at the time, I really enjoyed, what were their names? Curly, Larry,
and Moe.
Yeah. Richard, thank you so much for that.
Saw the Three Stooges too.
Oh, wow.
At the, in Bensonhurst, at the theater in Bensonhurst. Curly had died young. He was 52 when he died. And they were from Brooklyn. Larry was from Philadelphia. Larry Fine was from Philadelphia. But Moe and Curly were brothers. Moe Howard and Curly Howard. They were brothers. And Shemp was one of the brothers. Shemp took over when Curly died.
Well, I love hearing all of these calls from folks who have experience with the Paramount. We've got Donna on the Upper West Side. Hi, Donna. Welcome to the show.
Greetings. As a young man, my father worked at the Paramount, and his boss was Jean Plachet, somebody mentioned before, Suzanne Plachet's father. So when I must have been less than 10 years old, but I listened to Murray Bakay on Wins, and Jean Plachet, got me and some of my friends into the Brooklyn Paramount to see a rock and roll show. And, you know, it was a nice memory because my father hated rock and roll, but that was one of the nice things that he did for me, taking me and my friends to the Brooklyn Paramount.
Oh, Donna, thank you so much for that.
Here's something about Alan Freed. I wonder how many listeners remember this. He lost his job. He was accepting payments to play certain songs from people who made these songs, and that was illegal. You, as a host on radio, you were not allowed to accept what was called payola.
Mm-hmm.
And Alan Freed accepted that, hopefully not to be discovered, and it was discovered, and I believe he lost his job because of that. I wonder how many listeners remember that.
So, Ron, as people start heading back to the Brooklyn Paramount and other theaters that are being revived, like the King's Theater in Flatbush, how do you hope they understand the history of these spaces as they enjoy their night out?
Well, if they go to the Paramount and they're sitting there, definitely enjoy the show. But think back of the history of how many people sat there in years gone by, listening to a whole host of different kinds of venues, from jazz to doo-wop to rock and roll to now you have the street music. You know, that theater, that building has seen the whole gamut of entertainment, and now it's being resurrected again.
We were talking to Ron Schweiger, who's the Brooklyn Borough historian. We were speaking about the history of the Brooklyn Paramount Theater. And just want to say on behalf of the whole All of It team, to everyone that was calling in, first-time callers, repeat callers, folks from Coral Springs, folks from Huntington, just thank you so much for being a part of this. It was great to hear that history. And Ron, thank you so much for talking to us about the Brooklyn Paramount, which is opening today as a concert venue after a renovation. Thank you.
Okay. And if there's a time, listeners, baseball season is starting. The Brooklyn Dodgers home office was located at 215 Montague Street, just a few blocks from the Paramount. And you go there today, there's a TD Bank on that corner, on Court Street and Montague Street. And on the outside of the TD Bank is a big plaque with a raised picture of Jackie Robinson and Ebbets Field, explaining that that is where Jackie Robinson signed his contract.
And we'll check that out. And tomorrow, check back here, because we're actually talking about the history of baseball on tomorrow's episode and how closely it's tied to the city of New York. So check that out as well. Ron, thanks a lot.
My pleasure.